Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino here, and we are back to talk about Big Brother Canada 3 again here on a Tuesday night. But before we get to tonight's show, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at True Car. Because when you're making a big purchase like buying a car, don't you expect a transparent buying process? A process that gives you the confidence to know if you're getting a fair deal, just like on Big Brother, of course you do. So to really understand the power of transparency, check out True Car and True Car's mobile app, because with True Car, not only can you configure the car the way you want and how you want it, but you can also see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for, down to the zip code, so you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Very transparent. So when you decide on the car you want, lock in guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you'll get connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor the savings without negotiation, unlike in the Big Brother house. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the True Car app today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who's neither ginger nor a ninja. Rob Sestrinina, hello everybody, and welcome back to our weekly Tuesday night Big Brother Canada recap, and we're going to talk about everything that went on over a wild weekend with an instant eviction and potentially events which could completely change the landscape of the house, not the manscape of the house for Jordan, the landscape of the house here in the early going of Big Brother Canada. And today we're going to be joined by two of our live feed reporters who are going to be telling us on everything that's been going on lately, even though we're going to start off our conversation talking about the last two episodes and a discussion of what we think will happen on Wednesday night. First, let's bring in a woman who joined us on Friday, but we had so much great stuff to talk about with Aika that we hardly had a chance to talk to her, so we'll bring her back in. Here is Shannon Bauer. Shannon, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, very good, Shannon. How was your weekend without the feeds?
Didn't know really what to do with myself.
Yes. Okay, good. Well, you've been able to catch back up all you could watch over the last couple of days?
Yeah, when it would work, the feeds like to just like have half the cams off, half the cams on, and then half the cams on nothing. And I'm like, after all this waiting and not watching, I have nothing to watch. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
All right. Well, we'll talk about all the nothing that you've been seeing. And joining us here back at the top of the rotation, here he is, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn is back.
Yeah.
That was so underwhelming. Taryn, the people on the podcast want excitement.
I'm very excited. This is a fantastic season and I'm really enjoying it.
Okay. Are you being serious?
No. Yeah. I'm being very serious.
Okay, good. All right. That's what we're trying to get a read on everybody, how sarcastic people are in the early going of meeting new live feed reporters. Of course, we're live here on robswebsite.com. We've got the chat room open where people are chatting along. Had a little bit of a mix up with getting the right video stream posted, but we are rocking and rolling now. We are up and running. And so we got the chat room. We've got Twitter open. Scott St. Pierre is looking for your tweets, hashtag RHAP. And of course, on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube. Okay. A lot of stuff to get into here in Big Brother Canada's third week. And I can't believe that week four is about to kick off tomorrow night once we get another HOH. And so let's get into it and pick up where we left off. And we were on the heels of finding out about the instant eviction. It didn't exactly go as we thought on Friday, right, Shannon?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
so I wasn't expecting Brittany to be up there with Neha at all.
So what was Aika talking about? Was she tricking us?
Maybe.
These Big Brother players, you can't trust them. It sounded like she definitely said that Bobby was going to be on the block with who? Who was the other person that she said?
Neha.
I believe it was Neha, yeah.
Okay, Bobby and Neha. All right, so it ends up being Brittany and Neha there, and we end up having the instant eviction. I have to say, I still don't love it. You know, I'm not going to get all worked up about it, but it just seems really unfair. And you know, I like that they're giving people a chance to get back into the house, but Taryn, wouldn't you say that so far this season, of the three people that have been kicked out, two have been in a very unfair way?
Yeah, it's very true. The way Neha went was just so cruel. Like, she had flipped the house to get Greg out or Bobby out and to save herself. And then she just gets instantly nominated because Kevin had to make the nominations right after he won HOH.
Yeah. I mean, Shannon, do you think that this was in the interest of good TV to do it this way, or they were just under the gun because production was going to be shutting down for the Easter weekend and they just had no other choice?
I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but yeah, this instant eviction just felt really cruel, like, because she would have been fine if Kevin would have been able to talk to anybody before making his nomination. So it just... It was brutal.
And so we end up with Neha, who was really a source of the resistance. Again, I felt like she was sort of like a Aika character from last season, where she was like the first, like, very vocal opponent of the big opposition alliance in the house. But she was too vocal about it, and she was going to probably be their first casualty no matter what. Whereas more of the under the radar players were going to ultimately be the ones to sort of take down that big alliance in the house. But it just seems pretty unfair for somebody who was playing so hard in the first couple of weeks. What do you think, Tara, of the final words on Neha for now?
I mean, to be fair, I don't know if she was too long for the house anyway.
Right.
Because like you said, she was a very vocal opponent. Yeah. And she was a big target for that, for the Chop Shop anyway. But I mean, you just want to see them go out in a fair way. You know, she seemed like she had a little more fight in her.
She definitely had a lot of fight. Yeah, I just felt bad for her that she'd go out, like, to not even know she was on the block. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, she's out of the house, which is sort of the opposite of what Big Brother is. And speaking of not being what Big Brother is, so now where Big Brother has always been, go to the diary room, everybody cast votes in secret, you come out by a vote of, you know, 6-1. Shannon, you've been evicted from the Big Brother house. Okay, pack your belongings. This was not only Survivor of go write down your votes, but then hold them on a card and then hold them up in front of the house. Shannon, did that bother you at all? Out of, you know, some of the crazier things that we've seen on Big Brother Canada, between all the twistos twists, didn't this seem like this was really out there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, being such a big fan of Big Brother and like the various changes throughout the early seasons, having them just to, like, have to show their vote, I was like, it's just ridiculous. Like, I know Big Brother Canada started the instant eviction, and I've grown to accept that that happens, but to have them all show their vote, that just felt like it pushed it a bit too far.
Yeah, Taryn, did you like that in any way, or did you feel like it was unfair?
I don't think it was necessarily unfair. Like, I wouldn't want to see them continue to do this too often, but it's very rare that people don't know who voted for who after the vote happens anyway. It was just a little more dramatic the way they did it, and cruel for Neha.
Yeah, it really was. You just have to sit there and, yeah, you know, and see the votes from everybody. Again, you know, it was interesting, but I just don't know what they were going for, what they expected to happen. I think that you sort of just have everybody, I guess they figure if they didn't let everybody talk to one another, then it was going to create a lot of drama of who's voting for who, who's voting for who. But I think everybody kind of knew what was going to go on. And then the couple of votes that went for Neha or against Brittany in Johnny and Sarah, I mean, there really wasn't any tension between those two people and Brittany, because those people ended up being the people that were close allies of Brittany as she stayed in the house. All it did was really provide some cover for the Chop Shop in thinking that, okay, well, now Brittany has a target in Johnny. Is that fair, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely bought into that for a while, at least. I won't go in too far ahead, but it definitely was cover.
Okay. All right. So, Shannon, Brittany ends up staying in the house and lives to fight another day, which really sort of sets the stage for some a very exciting episode come Sunday into Monday.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. And let's talk about this HOH competition, which is this a first on Big Brother? Have we seen this competition run before, Taryn?
I don't think so.
Yeah, this seemed like a unique competition where you have to hold on. Yeah. How were the pairs picked? Do you know that?
I think it was random.
Random draw, because you ended up with a couple of the pairs that ended up being like the people they probably would have picked. I presumably, especially in the pair that won in Sarah and Brittany, and maybe I'm not sure if Greg and Bruno would have picked each other, but maybe it seemed like something that they might have thought of before getting up there and realizing it was a terrible idea. So you had all these different pairs that were up there, and then you end up with Sarah and Brittany close enough for a period of time where they're able to mend whatever was going on from that vote that Sarah cast, and maybe created a really strong power alliance here moving forward in the game. Shannon, were you pumped up to see Sarah and Brittany become the HOH? Or I'm sorry, Brittany become the HOH?
For sure. I was so excited for them. I was holding onto the bed, like watching all tense, like hoping that Godfrey would just fall right at the end there.
Yeah.
Not Willow and Godfrey.
And it was also a competition that ended up with some punishments also. Tara, did any of the punishments jump out to you? And rewards?
Not really.
What about scuba? Anything.
The scuba was all right, but we didn't get to see it on the feed, so.
Yeah. I mean. not as exciting. Okay, and yeah. So Greg, potentially a parting gift this week. He gets $1,000 and a letter from home for the Ginger Ninja.
I like that, actually. Seeing Greg in the diary room for once not just be like this weird, stiff character. He was actually like genuine for once. It was really nice to see.
Yes. All right. Well, we don't want to get too used to that. So we end up now with Brittany as HOH. And all of a sudden, who is this Brittany that we didn't really see so much? One week ago, not even, I'm sitting there last Wednesday night, we get a montage about how Brittany is, she's on the block against Cindy, and Cindy is going to campaign her face off. And Brittany's like, yeah, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just going to enjoy the experience. Cut to, 5 days later. And I'm not sure if it was because she went up on the block for a second time because of the instant eviction or what. But now all of a sudden, yeah, she's a fembot. She's like, she's ready. She's like in Kill Bill. She's an assassin. Shannon, where did this Brittany come from?
I have no idea, but I'm so glad it came.
Yeah.
It's fantastic seeing that side of her. I was like, whoa, this Brittany came to play. Like, damn.
Yeah, she turned into such a major badass. Now, whether that is the right play or not in week 3 of any Big Brother season, we can get into. But Tyron, were you surprised to see Brittany come out and be this aggressive?
I was incredibly surprised. She's just been so down in the dumps on Slop and nominated, the past week or so. And like, it was like Jocasta levels of difference between her in the house and her in the diary room. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, no, she was really very fun to watch and really provided for an exciting show going into Monday night, because she comes up with this plan where, tell me if this is something original and unique that we've seen here, where basically she knows she's going to backdoor Greg, but she's going to put up people on the block who are going to be, challenge competitors to make sure that people are going to come off. And then no matter what, she's putting Greg up on the block, no matter who goes up there. Taryn, did you feel like, is this something new that we're seeing?
I don't know if it's new, but like the theatrical element of it is definitely something that we haven't really seen before.
Right. Because she had the perfect cover that Johnny voted for her in the instant eviction. And so she was able to sort of get the whole house thinking that it was going to be Johnny going up as payback for voting for her in the instant eviction. And then also you had the Chop Shop also like pushing that agenda on her. So they didn't think anything was up, because that was what they were telling her to do. And she was making it seem like that's what she was going to do. And then once the veto is played, then she sort of lets the cat out of the bag.
It's pretty good. Like, she would have had one of the Chop Shop members taking someone off the block thinking that she was going to nominate Johnny as a replacement, and she would have put up Greg.
Yeah. Shannon, is this hardcore level of play, do you think, is it too much here early on? We're not even out of the first month of Big Brother Canada. Do you think that Brittany is marking herself as somebody who will be targeted sooner than later?
Yeah, she's probably unfortunately going to get targeted sooner rather than later. But it was just fantastic for us as viewers to watch. Like, it was such entertaining TV, like, just to get Greg out because he's been annoying the crap out of me. But
yes,
probably showing her hand a little too soon and playing a little too hard, but
probably, but it was so satisfying. I mean, compared yeah. to, and I loved Big Brother Canada too, but the way that, you know, the first five fell apart, where it was like nobody in the house could, you know, knock off those people in the first five. Ultimately, it had to be a twist and Canada had to do it. But to have Brittany do it and basically to see the reign of the chop shop as currently constituted be so short, really, did they get, how many, did they get to double digit days of having the chop shop in play as an alliance and then have Brittany just come in and Sarah and just completely nuke the chop shop so early on? I felt like it was such a satisfying way to see it go out, Taryn.
Definitely. I haven't seen a lot of chops lately.
Yes. So, all right, well, that's more for the live feeds. I wanted to talk about the future of the chop shop and where we're going. So she ends up putting up in her nominations. She puts up Kevin and she puts up Bobby. Does Brittany give Kevin basically the same nomination speech that he gave her when he put her up during the instant eviction? Shannon, did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh, okay. She's saying basically the same thing that he said to her. So
how do you like it? How do you like
it? Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then we also then had Bobby going up. And she says, I've chosen to put you up. I want you to win the veto, but I never forget when somebody writes my name down. So Brittany really selling that Johnny is going to be the person that goes up as the replacement nominee, Taryn.
Yeah. It was like we were in Survivor all of a sudden. They're writing the name down.
Yeah. I'll never write your name down. It was exciting. All right. So we end up with everybody in the chop shop being all excited and leading to the spooling around veto, which seemed like a pretty brutal competition. I would not have lasted very long in it. Were you guys surprised, though, that Kevin went back to his veto throwing ways so quickly after winning the HOH and the instant eviction, Shannon?
A little bit. I mean, I know he wasn't trying to win that HOH in the first place, but it was a little bit surprising since he was on the block. And I mean, he should know, being such a fan of Big Brother, that even if someone says you're a pawn, you might not be. I know in this case he totally was, but
sometimes you go from the pawn to the queen, though.
Yeah,
that's the thing that happens. So ultimately, it was between Johnny and Zach for the veto. Taryn, was Zach trying to win the veto?
That surprised me because it sounded like he was trying based on his DRs. But based on what I've seen from him in the feeds, you know, prior to this, he said he doesn't want to win these kinds of competitions at all.
Hmm. Yeah. It seemed like it was a weird narrative that was coming from the show, almost like it was Zach's chance to redeem himself in competitions. Like, shouldn't Zach be trying to make sure he doesn't redeem himself at the competitions? Like, at the point where Zach starts winning competitions, doesn't that become a huge problem for him?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not sure who's giving him that advice. Hopefully Jordan takes him aside and tells him, let's nip that in the apple shaped butt. Okay. Okay. So things end up sort of falling apart with the chop shop after a night where, after the veto, Johnny ends up spending the night in the HOH room with Brittany and Sarah. And all of a sudden, Greg suspects something is up. Now, had the feeds come back at this point, Taryn?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay. So he's upset and he goes up there, and we have sort of a big confrontation between Brittany and Greg, and the Ginger Ninja realizes the energy is bad. He feels like he's going on the block and that he's going to be in big trouble here. So we see Brittany and Greg. Shannon, did you like the way that Brittany handled Greg in this moment?
I did. I really did.
As a viewer or as a player?
Good. As a viewer.
Yes. Well, as a player, was it good?
Could have been better, but as a viewer, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Taryn, do you have a take on how Brittany handled this? Because I felt like she probably, while it felt good to tell Greg off, it just seemed like she really like wanted to make a point to say, I'm the one that did this to you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, despite her best efforts, Greg came away from that conversation mad at Johnny. But she was really trying to say, like, no, I did this to you. You should be mad at me. I'm the big target. I mean, it's great to watch. It was very satisfying.
And did Johnny actually say anything about anything to anybody?
Not as far as I'm aware.
So he really ended up getting a lot of blood on his hands, too, because you have Greg convinced that it was Johnny who threw him under the bus. Like, Greg thinking, like, oh, I was fine. And it was Johnny that really screwed me up here. And so I wonder if there's going to be a blowback from Chop Shop to Johnny in the future, Shannon.
Maybe. I don't know if everybody else thinks the same way as he does, but.
Okay. Well, I hopefully nobody else thinks the same way that Greg does. hope so. Okay. But that being said, let's go ahead and jump into the veto ceremony. Okay. And so we end up with Johnny going ahead and using the veto on Kevin. And so Greg ends up being the replacement nominee. Hashtag Ginger Ninja. Hashtag 604. Taryn, the last time I checked, I don't think you can hashtag 604.
No.
I'm pretty sure you can't. I think you need to have letters in there. I don't think you could just do hashtag 604.
To be fair, I don't think it's 604. I think it was 604.
Oh, is that what it is?
Maybe that's different.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know if that could work out. Okay. How is hashtag Ginger Ninja doing?
He's not doing well.
It's not doing well. Are a lot of people using it? Let me see. Okay. Hashtag Ginger Ninja. Somebody writes hashtag 604. Peace, Greg. You annoy me. Okay.
Yeah.
Then also. Somebody else says Ginger Ninja is in trouble. Let's see. The official Greg Merritt Twitter account is using it, and they're thanking people. Somebody says, I'm going to die laughing if Greg is evicted and comes back in the game. Okay, so somebody is pro-Greg. And somebody else says, I want to support my BC boy, but sorry, Ginger Ninja, your time is up. Hashtag 604. Yeah. And lastly, AJ from Big Brother Canada 1 says, where the hell is the 604? Likely the only place that Ginger Ninja is trending. That's probably fair. All right. So here we are. The stage is set now after two nights of Big Brother Canada that really sort of changed the landscape of the house. I'm going to go ahead and hit the buzzer on the live feeds. Not that I think that there's anything particularly crazy that we don't see coming that may happen. So, but I'm going to hit the buzzer anyway. All right. So, we're free to talk about what's going to happen and speculate a little bit here. So, Taryn, at this hour, what's the story for Greg?
So Greg thought he had a chance, yesterday, but he's realized that, it's pretty much going to be unanimously, him gone. And he's been moping around the house all day. He's not happy. He was talking about self-evicting. Not good for him.
Yeah, it's just so lame that some of these big guys, they come into the house and they're like, I own this house. I'm the king around here. And they, you know, they make these alliances and they're gonna bro down and they talk so tough. And then like once the writing is on the wall, they all go down without a fight. You know, who was the last of these guys that you see that goes up on the block that really goes out the door with the same fight they have when they're HOH, when their alliance is HOH? I mean, go down the line with all of these guys from these alliances, whether it's a Devin, whether it's a Jeremy, whether it's a Andrew, whether it's a Tom, you know, just boom, 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 maybe Tom. But they all, for the most part, they come in like a lion and they all go out like a lamb. Am I being unfair, Shannon?
No, not at all.
Yeah. What is it? What is it about these guys then?
I don't know. They're just all talk and then they just don't have any real game and they just think that the world should just revolve around them in the game. And when the second they find out that it doesn't, I don't think they just don't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah. They all just go into the like, I'm just taking my ball and I'm going home. Yeah. Come out of here. You have your little fun, have your stupid game. So It always happens like this. So, or they just like become like they just like declare themselves the winner. Like, you know, I've grown so much as a person while I'm in here. Like, none of them ever go out the door with like a plan or that they're going to like hustle all week long. I don't know what it is here. I'm going to work on this as for my PhD to get to the bottom of this. And I guarantee you, in how many months? In 3 months, we're going to be sitting here. Mark the day and time. First week of July, we're going to be sitting here talking about some guy, some jacked bro who's in some alliance of, you know, with all dudes, and he won a HOH in the second week and let it go to his head, or is part of a big alliance, and then I'm doing an exit interview with him, and you know, it just all fell apart and he's just besides himself.
And their plan was to win HOH every week.
They were going
to
win it every week.
Yeah.
And then they were going to put up all the people from the other side of the house. And then I don't know what the plan is then. And they never even make it to the jury. Forget the going to get into the end of the game. Then who is the last one of these guys that got to jury? And no, none of them. It just doesn't happen. Yeah. It doesn't happen. And Robin Cass sits there and she laughs her ass off every time. And she's sitting there in the room with this guy and he's like flexing. He's like, I'm going to be the baddest bro you ever seen in this house. And she's like, oh yeah, I think you're going to win. And then she like leaves the room and they're all like high-fiving and it's never going to work out. And they've never really seen the show before. And it just happens season after season. And because these bros never have even watched the show, you know, it just happens time and time again. What are you going to do? It's fun. It's good. That's why I love the first couple of weeks of Big Brother. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying to stop casting these people on Big Brother. I'm saying we should cast like three of them, because then there's so much drama in the house when they're there because they're playing so terribly. Then I feel like the air is sort of out of the balloon after they're gone. And I'm wondering if maybe things might get quiet next week after Greg is gone. And Taryn, are you worried that things could be quiet in the house in a post-Greg world?
I don't know. It will definitely be quieter. I think it depends on who wins HOH next week.
Yes. I also loved it when Greg said to Neha, you're the new Netta, but you're better.
Yeah, as he was voting her out of the house.
Wow. You're the new Netta. Well, we've talked about how that he says Netta won last season.
Yeah.
Yes. Shannon, was Neha the new Netta?
Maybe like a more aggressive version, but I don't think we can really compare her exactly to Netta. I mean, she had good strategy and stuff, but she was kind of a Netta Ika mix.
Yeah, you wouldn't call her a better Netta, would you?
Oh, no.
She wasn't better. She was yeah. Worse. She was the worst of them. All right. So Greg is going to be gone, potentially unanimously. We're very sad because the Ginger Ninja was a character. And I love the name Ginger Ninja. And he's one of the most entertaining guys in the house. But unfortunately, he is going home, but not quite. He's going to sequester. What do we think the chances are that Ginger Ninja could be the person to come back into the house? Shannon, is there a chance?
Possibly. I mean, it could happen. I hope it doesn't, but I mean, I kind of hope it does too. Like, hope it doesn't from a game strategy perspective because he's terrible, but kind of hope it does because he's so entertaining and he would cause so much drama.
Yes.
But I mean, if it's like a more physical comp, he could, compared to what he has to compete against right now, he could probably do it. But
Taryn, how bad do you feel for the person that's in charge of supervising Risha, Cindy, Neha, and Greg? They're all probably in separate. It's not like the jury though, right?
I don't think so. Although, if it was, that would be a very entertaining.
In Big Brother Canada 1, when Gary came back into the house, I think we were all like, okay, well, they're probably all separate in different places, but they were all living in one house together.
Yeah, I was watching Alec and Peter, and they seemed to think that they might actually be together, all the first five people evicted. So,
well, those were some of the guys that were in that jury that was together, at least Alec was, that came back in the house. So You know, it's expensive to sequester all those people separately. You know, it's better to sort of just have like a holding pen and put them all in it. They should have the live feeds of that. I would watch that.
Yeah, I was just thinking that too. I was like, oh, can we get a camera in there instead of the hot tub?
Yes.
Yeah. The fancy.
Okay. So then is it 1 week from Wednesday? Then we're going to have a competition. So how is this going to work? Do we think? So somebody will be the new HOH on Wednesday night, and then we'll play a week of Big Brother, and then somebody will get voted out. And then instead of an HOH competition, will we see that person then run back into the backyard like we did with when Jocasta got voted out? Or was it Jocasta? No, was it Nicole?
I think it was Zach had just been voted out.
Okay.
Right?
Maybe that was the case. I think that was the case. And so do you think that we'll see it all happen, play out in one night?
I have no idea.
Shanna, do you have a read on this?
No, I mean, it would be awesome to see it all play out and like know who's coming back in right away. But
Okay. So we'll see ultimately who's going to be the person to go. Okay. So next week, we're going to have a new HOH, but the alliances in the house have been shifting a little bit. All right. So Tarrant, talk us through some of the new developments in the house this week since the last time we spoke.
So Sarah, Brittany, and Johnny have been kind of getting an alliance formed with Jordan, Zach, and Kevin. And they initially called themselves the Purple Cobras from the Dodgeball movie.
Okay.
But that was copyright, so they've changed their name to Hexagon because there's six of them.
Right. Okay, so a couple things there. I like the dream team of Jordan, Zach, and Kevin. I think that is a good idea. I think that the problem there for Jordan is he's got to hope that Zach and Kevin really never sit down and have a powwow. I feel like he's sort of like the person in the middle there, and that could be bad for him if those two guys, it's like the guy who's like, you know, has a wife and a mistress, and then they both sort of like, oh, does he do this with you? Does he do this with you? And so I feel like that could be potentially bad for Jordan because he swears up and down to both of them that he's really with the other one. So that's potentially a problem, but I think he's probably okay for right now. That being said, what do we think? Could this alliance work? Could this be like the sloppy seconds of Big Brother Canada 3, Shannon?
It'd be really cool if it was, as I like all six of them. I'm just not sure if they're completely with them, since like Zach kind of has his side thing with Ashley and then sort of something with Willow and kind of everywhere. There's yes. So many alliances.
Too many alliances. And so, yeah, you have these two, three-person alliances, and you know, you wonder if either of them could out the other one because Zach still has connections to Ashley. You would think that you know, Willow isn't too far off from this, so it's kind of a big group here to be formed as the second generation of alliances start to form in the house. Tara, do you feel like this is going to last for a while?
I think in order for it to last, Sarah or Johnny have to win an HOH because Kevin, Zach, and Jordan aren't going to try and Brittany can't compete. Mm. And if the other side of the house wins, then they're going to go after, you know, someone like Johnny or Sarah or maybe even Kevin.
Okay. Tell me, and for the record, Hexagon, not in love with the name. We talked about how, you know, Jordan came up with the Bromuda Triangle. Between Zach and Kevin and himself. Again, you can't bring a fourth person into the Bromuda Triangle. And doubly, you can't bring a woman into the Bromuda Triangle. That's doubly bad. And Hexagon just sounds like a team name that you would make on The Apprentice. I don't know. Well, let alone being six-sided. It sounds very corporate. Hexagon, thinking- tell me, who was your star, Hexagon? Like, Mr. Trump, you know, Jordan really rocked the scuba gear. We all really liked what he did. Who was your weakest player, Hexagon? you know, Johnny really, that he was just trying to snuggle with Kevin the whole time. He won the veto. Can't be the weakest player. All right. So that's Hexagon. Tell me, where does the Chop Shop stand, Shannon? What happens to the likes of Bobby and Bruno minus Greg?
I it'll have to depend a lot on, like Taryn was saying, with who wins HOH. And I mean, I don't know if they're all going to still stick together with Greg gone. I know some of them are pretty close to each other, but that big alliance forms so quickly, they might just blow up kind of like the Bomb Squad did, just scatter.
Yeah, Taryn, what's your take on this? Do you think that the remaining members of the Chop Shop will go and scramble, or do you think that they'll try to hold it together? Because for the first five, minus Andrew, they did not hold down the fort particularly well.
Yeah, they're going to try to hold it together. They've kind of brought Godfrey in to replace Greg. They haven't told him about the Chop Shop or anything, but he's kind of, you know, replaced Greg as the kind of fifth member. The girls are the ones that are kind of starting to drift away. But if the guys manage to win an HOH, then they'll probably be able to reel them back in for now. It's definitely a doomed ship though. In the future.
Okay. Bobby and Bruno, I'm a little bit intrigued with these guys because while Greg, I felt like really brought down the Chop Shop, for me, my book isn't really written on these two guys as players. I'd love to get a scouting report from each of you on one of these guys. Taryn, could you give me the scouting report on Bruno? Is he as bad as Greg, or is he just guilty by association, is actually a better player?
He's absolutely guilty by association, and I think he'll have a much easier job without Greg if he needs to get himself back in with the other side of the house. I think he's a very dangerous player, and everybody likes him. And so people like Jordan are aware of that and they see Bruno on their radar, but they're still not targeting him yet. So he's definitely someone to watch out for if he's able to, you know, form something with people outside of the Chop Shop.
Okay. And now, Shannon, tell me about Bobby. Is Bobby as bad as Greg, or is he also somebody who is brought down by Greg?
He's sort of brought down by Greg. He's definitely a bit more social and better at talking with people than Greg is. He's not as like dramatic and everything, but he doesn't really have much of like a strategic game like Bruno does. Like Bruno, I feel like he gets, like Taryn was saying, gets along with everybody and stuff, but Bobby's definitely working the more social aspect. So if he can win a comp or two, he might last a while. But
all right, so Taryn, tell me, do you think maybe a la One Direction, okay, we're gonna lose Greg, but replace him with somebody new? Here comes Godfrey. Could Godfrey in for Greg, could that lead to a new invigorated Chop Shop?
I really don't think so. I don't think it's long for this world. They really need to win HOH. And even then, I think it would be a fleeting thing.
Okay. Like One Direction or no?
I don't know.
Which is going to last longer, One Direction or the Chop Shop?
I'm going to guess One Direction.
I think so. I think that's a safe bet. Have to unravel for One Direction for the Chop Shop to outlast One Direction.
Oh, no, I said they would last longer.
Oh, you do think the Chop Shop will last longer?
No.
I hear what you're saying. I'm saying that things would have to get really bad for One Direction for them to unravel that quickly. All right, so let's continue talking about the fallout from this vote. Willow and Ashley, let's do the same thing that we just did. And let me start with you, Shannon. Tell me about, where does Willow go from here?
Well, she's been having like pretty much like nervous breakdowns. Like she's been crying and everything. And she just needs to pick herself up and keep forming those relationships with those girls, because I feel like that's where she's kind of best fit in there. Keep her relationship with Zach good, and could be fine for a while, but I think Jordan and Zach are kind of on to her being good at the game and strategic, but she just needs to stop with the nervous breakdowns and stop the crying, because it's not helping her.
What'd you make of Willow seemingly having a crush on Jordan and his butt? Did you catch that, Shannon?
I did. I was like, my boyfriend was sitting next to me while I was watching that. And I had my headphones in, so he couldn't hear it. He's just like, what is going on? Why are they zooming in on this guy's butt? What is happening?
Willow was very impressed with Jordan's butt. Yeah. Could this be a match? Hold on.
It may be these logs, but Willow is starting to give me some wood in that beaver costume, and I think I need to jump in this cold water to calm down.
I don't know. Could this, Shannon, do you think this could be a match?
I don't know, maybe.
For Jillo?
I'd have to wait, but if he ends up doing that, he might... If Cindy comes back, there might be some trouble there.
Oh, boy. Who would have thought that Jordan in a love triangle this season? Oh, my God. In his wildest dreams, he couldn't have imagined it going this well. He doesn't even, won't even care if he loses. Okay. So then let's talk about Ashley, Taryn. And tell me, where does Ashley end up going from here?
She's actually in a great position. I sort of just realized this week that, you know, she's in good with the Chop Shop. She's got Zach, and we haven't brought it up yet, but they just hooked up recently.
Whoa. Yes. Yeah, so Jordan and Ashley. Now what happened to Zach and Ashley? So what happened to Jordan telling Zach, hey, if you're ever with Ashley and you're getting those butterflies in your stomach, just think of my face. And then you won't do anything with her. What happened to the plan? Zach's like, I got this, bro. Don't worry about it. I got this.
Clearly, it did not work.
Did not work.
Had the opposite effect of what was desired.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to say it always happens, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're in the house. Like Aika was saying, sometimes you're just bored and you got this, you know, a very attractive person with you in the house. And it's like, money. But. That looks like fun. That's always going to win out.
There's a pretty funny moment the day after when he asked Jordan, like, hey, so are there cameras in the have not room? Jordan was like, yeah, why? It's like, can they see at night?
Yeah. Who is that, Zach? That was Zach?
Yeah, Zach was asking Jordan.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So there was, I see some pictures posted of kissing. And this is in the have not room.
Yep.
Yeah, I see some night vision going on. Okay, nothing that exciting. But Zach and Ashley is happening. What are we calling them? Zashley?
I think that's the term, yeah.
Zashley. Okay. It's all right. Nothing special, but we'll see if that ultimately develops. So do you think, Taryn, that Zashley is gonna be a problem for Jordan?
If it is, it won't be for a while. But Zach did pretty much spill most of his game to her the day after they,
come on, Zach,
everything except for Jordan, pretty much, telling her that he was throwing competitions and that they need to ride the middle, play both sides against each other. And she really took it in stride and she's been doing really well with the information.
She was good with the, Zach telling her we need to ride the middle.
I mean, from what it seems, unless she's saying something different in the diary room.
Okay. All right. That's things are progressing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Shannon, let's continue, along here with some of the other alliances, in the house. So what else is going on besides, what's going on with Hexagon and people hooking up? Anything else of note? Or Taryn, anything else before we jump into questions?
Really. Oh, well, speaking again of Ashley, Jordan and Zach's current plan is to keep riding the middle until one of the sides crumbles and then kind of form this alliance. They're coining the Diaper Alliance because it has a bunch of young people, I guess, which is going to be Kevin, Jordan, Zach, Ashley, Peely.
Okay, boy, another terrible alliance name. For a guy who's watched this show for years... rank Bermuda Triangle, Hexagon, and Diaper Alliance. 1, 2, 3, Taryn.
I mean, I guess Diaper has got to be first because it doesn't have a number associated with it.
Bermuda Triangle's the best of those three. Then Diaper Alliance, and then Hexagon. I think that's the order. Okay. Diaper Alliance is just gross.
I think it's a temporary name for now since it's not like officially formed yet, but it is the name right now.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and bring in some questions that Scott St. Pierre has pulled for us about Big Brother Canada and take them on the show. Okay, anything goes. I already hit the buzzer. Let's start off here with Lance Davis. who says, how many times did Brittany let the audience know about her master plan during last night's episode? Talk about her beating the proverbial dead horse. Shannon, did Brittany beat did Queen Bee beat the dead horse for you?
Not for me. I was enjoying it, but yeah, I mean, it was mentioned quite a lot. We did get the point that she had this plan going, but I was just so excited for her that I didn't care that she was talking about it so much.
Yeah, it was fun. Like, come on, let's live a little bit. Let her have her moment. It was fun.
She was okay, excited.
Jeremy Sago says, Jordan is starting to withdraw from RHAP. I don't blame him. I would too. Okay, so what does that mean, Taryn? Is he's starting to not talk about RHAP, or he's getting stir crazy because he is jonesing for RHAP?
I think he's just not mentioning it as much.
Oh boy.
They're still holding, you know, makeshift podcasts almost every night.
Have there been any good podcasts that they've done?
Are
they better than this show?
All Stars. No, never better than RHAP, you know.
Thank you. All right. So, for the most part, are other fans getting annoyed that they're doing this, Taryn, from what you've seen?
The people in the house love the podcast. They look forward to them. And they, I mean, even if they can't participate, they just like watching. I guess it's just something to do. The people watching the feeds don't seem to like it very much.
No, they don't. Somebody tweeted me last week. Thanks at Rob Sesternino for ruining the feeds this year. Like, what? I didn't even do anything. Thanks, Rob. Because of you, the feeds are ruined this year.
You told him to do this, right?
I didn't tell him. I didn't even know he was on the show. Here's what I knew. When I knew it. Okay, that I knew in talking with Jordan, I knew he got very close to being on Big Brother Canada 2. And after he didn't get on Big Brother Canada 2, he let me know he was in the mix for Big Brother Canada 2. And he got close, but ultimately a similar experience to what I had when I tried to be on Big Brother Canada, or Big Brother 3, Big Brother US 3. And so he got very close to being on last season, and then ultimately he didn't get on. And then that was the last I talked to him about casting for the show. And then I was just very surprised at the point when somebody said, hey, I think this RHAP listener is going to be on the show this season. So I didn't know that he was going to be going into the house, and I certainly did not plan anything with him of okay, when you get in the house, don't do that. Because I think I would tell him that I don't think people are going to love it if you do this. I think people are going to get annoyed, but I appreciate it, but I can understand why people might feel like they're getting it shoved down their throat. So, what are you going to do? I hope that, you know, it's helping his game, and I don't want to be the cause of anything bad happening to him in the house. But Taryn, you think he's in a good spot?
He's very well positioned right now. Yeah.
Okay. You think he has a good chance to win this thing?
I mean, it's a long way out, and I definitely foresee problems with Zach's loyalty as far as Ashley goes. Okay. So
he's in the mix though.
Yeah.
All right. That's all you can ask.
Yeah, I think he's in the mix.
You're either in the mix or you're not in the mix. Tell me, who are some people who are not in the mix, Shannon? Who could we, besides Greg, who else is DOA here on April 7th?
Let's see. Unless like Pilar gets dragged to the final two, I don't think she's winning.
Okay. PLE is DOA. who else is on our DOA list?
I like her.
Godfrey,
yeah, DOA.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. What about Bobby? Can Bobby rebound from this?
It's going to be very difficult for him. His chances are pretty slim, I think.
Okay. All right. So Bobby is probably out, but I'd say it's a very competitive season if we only have three people that are potentially on our DOA list.
Yeah. I mean, Willow also, I think, might have trouble.
My winner pick.
Her emotional breakdowns are really going to hurt her, even if she does manage to make it to the end.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully she can pull up the nose and try to get out of this nosedive with the rest of the people from the Chop Shop. Okay. Let's take a question from Nathan Miller. Does the Chop Shop now think Johnny is the head of the Counter Alliance? This could work out well for Brittany and Tara. Shannon, is the Chop Shop believing that Johnny is the brains behind everything?
I don't know. I hope that they aren't, because Brittany was kind of the person that wanted Greg out. I know Greg believes that, and he was telling everybody else that, but I don't know if they all are thinking that Johnny is the master behind it all.
Taryn, do you think that they believe Johnny's the master?
They do. They see Johnny and Sarah as the brains behind the operation, and they've had a thing out for Johnny since week one. They feel very threatened by him.
Okay. Let's take a few more questions here. South Newton 1, has Kevin had the craziest start to a season ever? He has more ups and downs in 2 weeks than most people have had in a season. Kevin has had a wild ride. Do you think that he has come out of this okay, Taryn?
Amazingly, he has. He's on some people's radar, especially Bruno's, but mostly as a pawn, you know, just in case Johnny gets out of the target for Bruno, you know, and Kevin goes up in his place. But for the most part, he's solid with Jordan and Zach, and he's not on a lot of people's radar to actually get him out. So he's amazingly managed to get back into the game.
Yeah. I like watching him as a TV character. You know, I don't know if it's going to work out for him. I suspect that he's going to flame out at some point, but I think he's a guy with a lot of charisma. And I'm happy he's part of this season. I think he's a good wild card in the mix. Shannon, are you on board with Kevin still?
Yeah, I think he's done pretty well considering. I mean, I know some of it was luck with just happened to be in that bathroom and hearing that conversation there. But still, he's managed to pull everything together pretty well and took that information and just ran with it. So
okay.
I'm impressed that he's kind of back off the radar after being so in the forefront of everything.
All right. Tim Forbes says, JP seems to be including Kevin a lot more. Is he preparing to have Kevin as a backup in case Zach gets too close to Ashley? Taryn, when this first started where, hey, Newport, it was Newport is the real alliance, that Kevin Fortress, forget about that. That's fake. I said at the time, I think if I was Jordan, I think I would, you know, ride out the Fortress thing a little bit more and not be so quick to disregard it. Do you think that Jordan is considering Fortress as a realistic possibility over Newport to any degree?
I think he's ride or die for Newport right now, but he's definitely seeing the Fortress as a very strong asset that he has.
Fortress is strong. Okay. All right, let's take another question from Mikey Dowd, a fellow live feed correspondent. How long do you think that Newport can juggle all these alliances before somebody figures them out? Also, who out of Zach and Jordan would be targeted first? All right. So, Shannon, do you think that Newport can go much further without being exposed?
I mean, these people should start talking soon and kind of figuring it out, you would think. It doesn't seem like anyone is. But
the problem with the secret alliance between Jordan and Zach is that they're in like a bunch of not secret alliances with other people. That's also part of it. And it's like, you know, that it's not like this is Danielle Reyes and Jason of like, I never could have imagined that Jordan and Zach were working together. Maybe to the degree which they are, that would be surprising. But I mean, at the point where they're in a 6-person alliance together, I think people are going to realize that they're friends. They're never going against each other on opposite sides of the house. Right, Taryn, am I oversimplifying?
No, not at all. People are starting to see that they're kind of a pair. Bruno mentioned that he thinks that JP and Zach are a pair. Sarah definitely knows that they're a pair. So it's definitely something that's out there, almost in the open.
Yeah, almost. Okay. If Jordan and Zach were on the block together, who would the house send home, Shannon?
Kind of depends. If they're going strategy wise, they should take out Jordan. But if they're thinking like competitions, like they think that Zach is good at them, then they might take out Zach. Everybody likes Jordan, so maybe they'd get rid of Zach because they like Jordan more.
I feel like Zach is safe until the point that he burns people. Like, yeah. I think that until he makes like a big move, I think he's probably fine. He's almost kind of like a Matt Hoffman, where everybody loved Matt Hoffman until like Matt Hoffman sort of just got found out, and then he had to go home. Everybody was out on Matt Hoffman. And I think that up until we reach that point where Jordan gets caught in a lie or something like that, I think everybody will like him. And then I think at the point where he's busted for something, they'll say this guy is sneaky and he probably has to go. Is that fair, Taryn?
Yeah. You were talking about Jordan that whole time.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And Matt Hoffman.
Yeah, I definitely see that. Once he's outed there, you know, he's never going to get the sort of wolfish perspective wiped off. But I do think that when Zach burns people, they're going to be more upset, because I think people think that they have a closer relationship with Zach than they do with Jordan. And I think they'd be hurt more if they found out that Zach was burning them.
Okay. Be hurt. All right, let's do two more questions. What up? Five says, question for the feed correspondents. Who's Willow's true allegiance to? The Chop Shop or the girls? Is the girl alliance really a thing, Shannon? Is Willow's alliance to the girls?
From who she spends most of her time with, it looks like she's more in with the girls. Unless Tara knows something. Last night I tried watching the feeds, and a lot of it was them doing your podcast.
Oh, what podcast did they do last night?
They did BB17 All-Stars, where they picked one person from each of the 16 seasons.
Oh, that would be a good season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would like to see when they finish these shows, send them to me. we should post them on the website. I mean, if they're doing the work, I feel like that's good content.
Make a podcast about their list.
Yeah, we'll do. Let's react to the list that was made in the Big Brother Canada house. Why not? The least that we could do.
Yeah.
Okay. For getting everybody in the Big Brother community to hate Rob as a podcast, right? This is the opposite of viral marketing. There's people going on and hate the podcast. Okay. So you say Willow is where, Shannon?
I want to say maybe with the girls more, but I don't really know. Just seems like she's kind of with them and talking with them a lot more. I don't know if Taryn, if you know more about where she lies.
I don't think she really, is throwing her lot in with any one particular group. She really likes Zach, but the fact that he's hooking up with Ashley now, she doesn't quite trust him all the way. They just had a talk today about him. Like, you know, oh, you can trust me. You're the girl I talk to the most. So I think she wants to be loyal to Zach, but she's not quite, you know, trusting it.
Okay. All right. Let's see one more question. Hawk 23. This feels like the beginning of the end for the Chop Shop. What's Bruno's game plan once Greg gets evicted? I don't know. It feels like the end of the end for the Chop Shop. Bruno's next step, Taryn.
Well, right now he's trying to ride it out with Godfrey and Bobby, but I think what he needs to start doing is trying to ingratiate himself more with the other side of the house, or with some of the people in the middle, like Jordan and Zach. I think he could, if they compared notes, if him and someone like Sarah compared notes, they could see that Jordan and Zach are playing both sides, and they could actually form something. Because they both like each other for the most part. And, you know, I think they'd be smart enough to work together.
Okay. All right. Well, lots of fun here tonight talking Big Brother Canada. We have our, what is this? The fourth eviction coming up here tomorrow night, which we presume to be Greg, barring something radical that happens between now and then. And look, these sorts of things have happened before. We did a podcast this summer where we talked about, well, that's it for Zach. Zach is done. We did a eulogy for Zach. And then we came back the next night and he was saved. So you never want to say it's a done deal. But is this a done deal, Shannon?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure Greg knows that, too, since he was talking all about self-evicting and everything.
It's probably a done deal. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens when we have our next HOH comp. So we had a endurance competition last time. Do we expect it to be a more traditional HOH competition on Wednesday night, Taryn?
Probably. It'll probably be a more traditional kind of quiz, kind of comp.
Okay. So hopefully we will have our HOH crowned Wednesday night, and then we'll be back on Friday to recap everything that's going on and talk about our nominees. Potentially we'll know them on the live feeds, but we won't see them on the show until Sunday night. That'll be back here on Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And then next Tuesday night, I am going to be in Las Vegas for the New Media Expo. And actually, the podcast awards are 1 week from tonight. So I will be out of town, but Mike Bloom will be filling in for me, anchoring our coverage of Big Brother Canada 3 in the fourth week of action as we get ready for the fifth person to be booted from the house. And then also talk about who may be the person coming back in. All that's next Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. All right. So thank you guys so much for being a part of the show tonight. One more time, let's thank Shannon Bauer. She's at S as in Shannon, Bauer as in Jack Bauer, and 17 as in BB17 All-Stars. The upcoming season on CBS coming this summer. One person from each season of the show. Who did they pick from Big Brother 1? Was it Chicken George again?
It is Chicken George.
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake. It's a mistake to go back. Did they, and who did they go from Big Brother 2? Dr. Will?
No, actually, it was
Hardy.
Hardy? Oh, I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake. I think if you do Big Brother 2, this would be a good podcast. I think I would go, if Dr. Will said no and Mike Boogie said no, I think Nicole would be the interesting way to go.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That would be, you like good TV? I think that's,
You want good TV?
Yeah, bring Nicole back. Bring Nicole back. Big Brother Canada, Big Brother 3, what'd they go? They go Danielle?
No, they went Lisa.
Oh, so basically that they are borrowing the format of Big Brother Second Chances. It's only, but Chicken George would be a three-time player. Okay, so I guess you can play three times. So I don't know. They got to really work on the format here if they're going to make this a real podcast. All right. Taryn, thank you for coming back again. Here's Taryn Armstrong. He's at Armstrong Taryn. That's T-A-R-A-N. Taryn, great job again tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. And looking forward to talking with you both again later on this season. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And we'll talk to you on Friday night with more Big Brother Canada. Plus, Survivor Know-It-Alls is back tomorrow night after Survivor. Then I'll talk to the next person kicked off of Survivor. And then on Thursday, I'll do the big Survivor recap. Sophie Clark is the guest and voicemails with Mike Bloom coming up this week on the podcast. So take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.